Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings here on The Voice of America. Today we are joined by a singer-songwriter who these days, I guess, is calling Nashville home, if I'm not mistaken. We'd like to welcome Brooke Eden to our show. And Brooke Eden had an EP out about 5 years ago, I believe it was. And now you've made a conscious decision to release songs. Is that going to be a part of an EP or an album, or are you just now currently just in a songs mode?
Well, I've been writing so many songs, so I'm not sure exactly what it's going to turn into. There will be more. We're just getting ready to go and record more this summer. So there will be more songs. Not sure if it will be an EP or a full album just yet.
Mm-hmm. And so Brooke Eden is originally from where? Where did you come from to bring you to Nashville?
Yeah, so I'm originally from West Palm Beach, Florida. So Southeast Florida. And I've been in Nashville for 9 years now. So this is pretty much home to me now.
Were you always a country girl, or is this a recent phenomenon? Because, you know, Palm Beach, I don't know that that's the mecca for country music, but I know Nashville certainly is.
Yeah, my dad was in a local country band when I was growing up. He actually is still in the same band. But growing up, he played locally in my hometown, always country music in the honky-tonks. And I just grew up singing with his band in those honky-tonks, and it was always country for me. I mean, I didn't even really know that another genre of music existed until I was in my teens, because that's just all we listened to. That and the Spice Girls. But I always knew that I wanted to sing country music. It's just what always pulled me in. And that definitely made my decision to move to Nashville.
And you've performed with Garth Brooks and Sam Hunt, some big name artists, and you've got some heavyweights enlisted on songwriting credits for the new songs that you've got out. I read somewhere you work with a songwriter who'd worked with the Florida Georgia Line and some others as well.
Oh yeah, my producer and also co-writer on two of the three of these songs he produces Thomas Rhett, writes for Florida Georgia Line, Kane Brown. I mean, pretty much anybody that you can think of, he's worked with. So really lucky to have my circle of songwriters. And
well, that's great. You got a great support team behind you. You know, I mean, tremendously talented writers and you know, engineers and producers. And so now the stage is set for you to make a splash. It's been 5 years. Why did you wait so long to come out with new music?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of things that were involved in that. I was writing during that whole time, but I actually got really sick when I was out on the road. I ended up with ulcers, and my doctor told me that I had to get off the road in order to like heal my body. And it just took a little longer than I think anybody really anticipated to get better. But now I'm healthier than ever, and I really was able to use that time to create the music and the sound that I wanted to create forever, and just didn't ever really feel like I had that time to do so. So now I felt like I had that time, and it felt like the music was finally ready.
And what's going on in the background there? You're at home. I guess that must be the set, the room that you record these in, because you got the nice background with the CDs piled up on the piano or the album covers. And what is that message on the wall?
Yeah, so this is actually just our living room, but this is my piano, and it says, "The braver you are, the luckier you get." And it's kind of just me and my fiance's mantra for life. We've had to go through a lot being together, and it just seems to us that the braver we are about who we are, the luckier that we get. So we believe in that so much, we got a neon sign.
Why not shout it out loud from the top of the mountaintops?
Yes.
All right, we've got Brooke Eden with us. We're going to do some songs. You're going to perform for us. What's the first song that you're going to be singing for us?
The first song is the first song that I released out of this trilogy of songs. It's called No Shade. And it is about kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes, coming from a really dark place in your in your life and pulling yourself out of that and coming out a stronger, more grown person. So, and sending no shade to the haters along the way.
All right. No shade. It's Brooke Eden here on Border Crossings.
Hey everyone, I want to introduce to you my guitar player, Miles Aubrey.
Hi.
And this is called No Shade.
Hello, sunshine, good to see you again. Had to walk out to let you back in. Stuck in a storm of a relationship. Lost my vibe. Oh, when I forgot about me. Way too long, but it's rolled on. Now there ain't no shade around here. Once you leave, you grab your under, ain't it funny how there ain't no rain all to me? Why it takes so long to leave you in the grip you miss? Now nobody gonna see my sunshine or turn my blue skies green. All I know is at the end of the day, wildflowers grow. Instead of catching these rays, I was catching your lies. Should've listened to my friends, should've known they were right. Now I'm looking at love in a whole new light. Cause I broke free, it's good to be. So far gone, so past it, they're forecasted. There ain't no shade around here. Once you leave, we got the humble and it's funny how they. Turn my blue skies blue. All I know is at the end of the day, wildflowers grow when there ain't no shade. Oh, no shade, no shade, no shade. There ain't no shade around here. Once you leave the cloud, you're under. But it takes so long to leave you in that rearview mirror. Now nobody gonna see my sunshine. But turn my blue skies gray. All I know is at the end of the day, wildflowers grow when there ain't no shade. No shade.
That's Brooke Eden, and the song is called No Shade.
No Shade, yes.
No Shade, and I like that. And so you've got these three songs that you've just come out with, and are they going to be a part of an album? Is that the plan, or are you just going to continue to release singles? Because that's perfectly fine too. In today's day and age, the way it's working, people are you know, buying singles. So what's the plan?
Like I said, we're not really sure yet. We're going in to record more music this summer, so I'm not really sure if it'll end up being an EP or a bigger full album just yet, but you know, definitely writing toward a full album.
And these days, everyone's collaborating with someone. It seems like everything on the radio is now a collaboration. Who will you be collaborating with? Give us an idea, at least on your wish list. Maybe it hasn't been confirmed yet. Who's on your wish list?
My wish list in country would be Thomas Rhett. I love his music and his sound a lot. So Thomas Rhett would be a big one for me. And then in pop music, it would be Bruno Mars.
Oh.
And then if we're looking back, like soul, Motown, which is what I listen to in my free time, Stevie Wonder.
Nice. Good choices. Very well-rounded. Now, it's interesting that, you know, you would actually want to collaborate with a Bruno Mars. I mean, everybody does in music these days, but that would be kind of risky if your lane is going to be country. So are you kind of set that this is the direction you're going, or are you kind of open to whatever happens, happens? You know, I mean, Taylor Swift managed to cross over. So many artists have crossed over. What's for Brooke Eden? What are you thinking?
Everyone in country collaborates with people in pop music these days. Keith Urban has a song on the radio with Pink, and she's fully pop, but no one thinks he's anything other than country. Maren Morris has worked with people like Zedd, Kelsea Ballerini. has worked with the Chainsmokers. It's a very normal thing in music right now to be just cross genre and not really put yourself in any kind of corner.
Mm-hmm. And why country music for a West Palm Beach girl spending her days at the beaches growing up? What was it about country music that drew you into that particular genre?
I just grew up singing country music ever since I was a kid. I started singing in the honky-tonks with my dad's band when I was 4 years old. So that's always what was on our radio. That's the music that my parents played. And it was just the music that I really liked as a kid. I remember listening to the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks, and Leon Rimes and Patsy Cline, and just being so intrigued by their voices and what they were saying in their music. And it just drew me in from the time I was a little kid. So it's just always been what I wanted to do.
And I read that you hadn't written a love song, or you hadn't at least sung a love song, but you hadn't written a love song. And since, you know, before you got engaged to your fiance, so that all changed when you met your fiance. Why did things change? Because you got in somebody in a, you fell in love and got into a relationship with.
Yeah. It was just, I don't know, growing up in the situation that I grew up, my parents got divorced growing up, and I just had never really seen love that worked. And so I just kind of thought it was something for the movies, something that you sang about in songs, but not really something that you felt. And then when I met my fiance, now Hillary, 5.5 years ago, everything changed for me. I felt what people felt in the movies. And it was just the first time that I had felt that. And I really only write songs that I feel. So I was kind of incapable of writing a love song until I had been in love. So I guess at the tender age of 26 years old was the first time that I fell in love. So that's the first time I started writing love songs.
And you said your fiance's name is Hillary?
Yes.
So how long have you known Hillary?
Well, we met each other, and 2 weeks later, we were in a relationship. So
Wow. We've
known and been in a relationship since 5.5 years ago.
Well, congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you so much.
Tell me, I'm very interested to know now, you know, a lot of people talk openly about their relationships and about their sexuality these days, with Demi Lovato talking about being pansexual, Little Nas X coming out. He was worried when he came out that it might negatively affect his career. And he said it's had exactly the opposite effect. And how about for you? I mean, how have you handled revealing a part of your personal life to the public that typically, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, artists would never think of doing that?
Yeah, I was very nervous about coming out, especially in the country music genre, just because, you know, we've had queer artists that have come out, you know, 10 years before Shelley Wright and Ty Herndon, and they were not met with welcoming arms. And that's very scary. They were great artists. They're still great artists. And they were just kind of not welcome. And now they're back into the country community. I actually just did a show with Ty Herndon last week, but you know, I think that the world is just so rapidly changing. And the only way that we're going to see this progression in the world where everyone's allowed to love who they love, and there's no question there, the only way that we move forward is by being visible. And so it was important to me to show my love and live my life out loud, because, you know, there were so many times that I wished that I had someone to look up to in the country music genre that wasn't ousted. And I just was waiting there for a long time. We were closeted for about 3.5-4 years before we eventually decided, like, we're not gonna do this anymore. We're gonna be visible, and we're gonna, you know, represent this community that's been so underrepresented in country music for a long time. So for so long, I was just wanting someone to come out and be visible so that it would be easier for other people. And then at some point I realized maybe I'm the person who's supposed to come out and be visible for other people to look up to and kind of help to continue to blaze the trail that Shelley Wright and Ty Herndon already started. So in the beginning it was very scary, but it's been incredible to just watch people's hearts and eyes open, and just we've received so much love and support and acceptance. And I just hope that it's just the very first step in a much broader acceptance of, you know, any other marginalized group of people.
And I think that being in this box that we've been in the last 15 months, this pandemic box, has given us a chance to really get in touch with ourselves and get in touch with other people. I mean, you know, typically we could escape the news headlines and news stories and news coverage, but it's been very, very difficult in the last 15 months because, you know, along the way we had a lot of different things, George Floyd and quite a few other situations, cultural situations, ethnic situations, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Asian, you know, violence concern. And of course, a lot of people coming out and talking about gay pride and equal rights and the LGBTQ community. And so I think we've come a long, long way in a short amount of time. This pandemic has done some good things for us.
Totally. There's so many social injustices that we were just pushing down and bottling up for so long as a country have really risen to the surface during this time because there's nothing to hide behind anymore. You know, we can't hide behind our busy lives and we don't have time to deal with this and process this. We had to process it and we had that time to focus our energy into realizing that we have a long way to go with marginalized groups in this country, and we still have racism in this country, and just realizing that, learning from that, and getting better. So yeah, I mean, obviously 2020 was so sad for COVID and everything that happened surrounding that, but socially, I think it's been such an eye-opening 15 months.
And you've got a new president who said, "I got your back," to the LGBTQ community.
That is so nice. We all cried when we saw that. To live in a country where everyone's supposed to be free and your president is telling you that he has your back to be free, it's a really good thing to hear.
We're talking with Brooke Eden, and Brooke has not one, not two, but three brand new songs. And I know that she's got millions of streams and millions of fans all around the world. And we're going to ask if you do another song for us right now.
Yeah, sure. The next song that we're going to do is called Sunroof. And this song was originally conceptualized on the first warm day of the year. I finally was like, oh my gosh, I think it's warm enough to open my sunroof. And I opened the sunroof and I remember the sun hitting my skin and just feeling this very giddy, excited feeling, this like warmth of like hope and excitement. And I realized that it was kind of like the same feeling that I got when I was falling in love with Hillary, this like giddy excitement and hope for the future. And so this song is about how love opens up your world and about falling in love with someone. It's called Sunroof.
Brooke Eden and Sunroof on Border Crossings.
Cherry lemonade. conflict everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
Brooke Eden, and the song is called Sunroof. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I may have read where you kind of got the idea looking up at the sun through a sunroof, but you were kind of waiting for fast food or something like that.
Yeah, I was waiting in the car. I had dropped Hillary off to go grab some to-go Mexican food. And I was sitting in the car and looked up at the sun and realized I think it was the first warm day of the year. So, yep, always that to-go Mexican food can really inspire people.
Oh, yeah, it'll inspire you in many different ways. Brooke Eden is with us. So do you have a name for your fans? Because a lot of artists name their fans.
Ooh, I don't yet. If you have any ideas, Larry, you let me know, okay?
All right.
Usually they'll name themselves, but yeah, let me know if you have any ideas.
So now that things are opening up with respect to the coronavirus, you know, subsiding a bit as the vaccines become more readily available, and what touring, is that something that you plan to do this year, maybe next year? What do you have on your schedule for the rest of 2021 and on into 2022?
Yeah, so far we have a lot of Pride festivals that we're going to be a part of, which is so exciting. It's my first year celebrating Pride as an out person, so that's exciting and so much fun. I had a Pride Festival out in LA a couple of weekends ago, and oh my gosh, just so much love going around this festival. It was so good to be there. I'll also be up in Michigan this summer for a show, and little things here and there. I'll be at the Opry next week.
So, really? Oh.
Yeah, the Grand Ole Opry. So
congratulations.
Getting out there slowly but surely.
That's great. For a country music star, that's kind of... that, you know, you've arrived if you get the chance to play the Grand Ole Opry.
We're here.
Brooke Eden is with us. Now, again, I want to touch back on something about, you mentioned you came out with, it's been a year, within a year. This is the first time you're out on the road, actually, since you've come out. How did you come out? What was that event like for you as you struggled to say, okay, world, here I am, this is who I am?
Well, for me, my coming out story is a lot of different steps. You know, you kind of come out to your parents and then to your family and then to your friends. And then, you know, being a country artist, then there's that point where you come out to your fans. And so, I mean, I came out to my mom a while ago, probably 4 years ago, family 2 or 3 years ago, friends, you know, long, pretty much as soon as it happened. But to my fans, just very publicly, it was just February. So it's only been a few months. And like I said, the reaction has just been so lovely and so loving. And I had no idea what to expect. So pleasantly surprised.
Any advice for your fans or people who are tuning in right now that might be battling with the issue, the question, do I or don't I, should I or shouldn't I, you know, suppressing these feelings and keeping things hidden? Or, you know, what do you advise people in a similar position?
Yeah, well, I think that everyone goes on their own journey, and that's a journey that can't be rushed by anyone else. You really have to do that in your own timing. And when you feel safe, I think that's a big thing, is feeling safe. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that it's important that everyone realizes that you are deserving of love. You are just as deserving of love as any straight person or any other person out in the world. And I think that for so long, you know, as a community, we've been shamed by people and religion into staying in the closet. And honestly, it's just so non-conducive for a healthy life to live in a, to live in the closet. So what I would say is, when you feel safe and when you feel ready on your own journey to self-love and self-acceptance, come out to someone that you feel safe with. And if you don't feel safe with anyone, there is the Trevor Project, where there's a hotline that you can call. There's also an online website that you can go to and chat with someone that can help you through that process and help you on that journey so that you don't have to go through it alone.
All right. Well, that is very, very interesting information. Very, very beneficial. You know, you're using your platform in very, very good positive ways. And so, you know, I'm sure your fans are proud of you, and you're picking up new fans every day. How about an international tour? Is that part of the plan for the future?
Well, the music's already being played in Germany and the UK and Norway, the Netherlands. So I would love to get over there. I know that it's, the vaccines are a little slower over there than they are over here in America. So slowly but surely, I would love to get over there once everyone's vaccinated and it's safe for everyone to be in a concert venue again. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we'll be doing some international tour.
Have you done international tours before?
I've done the C2C festival, the country to country festival over in the UK. I did that a few years ago, and man, it's just such a cool experience that you can go across seas. You've never seen these people before, and they're just singing along to every single word. It's the coolest experience. And man, I loved the UK fans. They're just so into the music and so into the lyrics of the music. And it was a great experience.
And during that journey and that tour, what surprised you the most? What do you think you took away and came back and said, wow, I never expected that? Blew me away when that happened.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, in America, you have some fans that know every word, but then you have some fans that are just kind of like, you know, watermelon it. They don't know the words or singing all the wrong lyrics and stuff. But in the UK, I mean, literally every single person knows every single real lyric to the song, and they're singing along. And I mean, some of these songs were unreleased. They were only on YouTube. Wow. And they still were singing along. So that was really what hit me. I'm like, how do y'all even know this? You know, it wasn't on iTunes or anywhere that you can stream music just yet. So that was shocking.
Now, you write an average, it says, of about 100 to 150 songs in a year. So if you're writing that many songs, wow, that's a lot of songs. How do you decide what you're going to release or which ones are going to make it on an album?
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, dating, it's like you have to kiss a lot of frogs. You have to write a lot of songs to get things that, you know, songs that are really you and feel like this is something that I really want to say and really want to sing. So you can just, for me, I can tell. It's the song that won't leave my head. It's the earworm that I wake up with and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to sing this at the next show. And then, you know, getting to sing it, even during the pandemic, doing lives, Instagram Live or Facebook Live, and hearing responses from fans, but now being back in real life and getting to hear responses from the crowd, that's really what I go off of. It's what I love, and then I give to the fans, and then what I feel back from them.
Well, the 2016 EP was titled Welcome to the Weekend. So what is the possible title for the next album?
Ooh, I don't know if I can say that yet.
Brooke, come on, Brooke. No.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say that yet. But
yes, you can. Give me some ideas. Give me some of the choices.
Yeah, I'll tell you that the working title is a lyric from Sunroof.
Okay, that's all you'll tell me?
That's all I can say.
Mexican fast food. Or Give me a fajita.
Fajita.
I order a fajita. All right, we're going to have one more song from Brooke Eden. I'm anxious to hear what this is. What's this next song going to be?
This is the last song that we just recently released. It's called Got No Choice. And this was, I wrote this song right when we were going through, when Hillary and I were going through, you know, pushback from the industry and from people telling us that we needed to keep our relationship a secret, otherwise I would lose my career. And I just woke up one morning and realized there's no way for me to unlove this person. I don't have a choice. This is who I am, this is who I love, and I would be crazy to let this go, and honestly, I couldn't even if I wanted to. So, and this song is for anyone who's had to fight for their love, or just anyone who loves their significant other so much and just wants to shout it from the rooftops. It's called Got No Choice.
Got No Choice. Brooke Eden here on Border Crossings. Crossings, and she is Brooke Eden with Got No Choice. And I like that song. I really like that song. You like to write happy songs, upbeat, up-tempo, happy songs.
Yeah, that was very intentional for it coming out of, you know, the pandemic and this dark place that we've all been in for the last 15 months. It's not all of my music is happy. I like to have a glimmer of hope in everything that I write, because I always feel like whatever situation that you're in, no matter how hard or how bad it is, there's always hope for it to change and turn into something beautiful. So I always like to have that little glimmer of hope, even if it's, you know, a deeper song. But for these first three songs coming out of such a dark year, it was important for me that they were sunshiny and something that could kind of pull people out of that time period.
And the people who want to get your music can do it on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, everywhere?
Anywhere you get music.
Anywhere music's available. And I'm interested to know, because you can tell a lot about an artist or a person by the music they listen to, books they read. So what do you got on your shelves there? What are the front albums that I'm seeing on those two shelves to your left?
Shania Twain, Come On Over.
Oh, who doesn't have that album? Come on.
Yes, exactly. Katy Perry, Teenage Dream, Maren Morris, Hero, and Little Big Town Tornado.
Awesome. Great taste. Thank you so much for being on the show, Brooke. And when you come to Washington, D.C. on tour and you are ready to put your album out or have your album out, please promise that you'll come by our studios and visit with us again.
Would love that, Larry. Sounds great.
Do you have a website people can go to for information about you?
Yes, it's brookeden.com.
Easy enough, brookeden.com. How about social media sites?
At brookedenmusic on every social media site.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brooke. Congratulations on everything and all the success and the happiness.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you so much.
You have a wedding date?
Not yet. We're looking at it very soon.
All right. Brooke Eden's been our guest, and this is Border Crossings. Thanks for watching.